Perfect. Thanks so much, you guys. What an honor. I was just informed that we need a little humor now. Thank you. No pressure. I'm going to read some gay-ass poems. We'll see how we do. I do actually have a new book, but I keep sending people the bio that's on the new book, so it doesn't include the new book. Anyway, so it's I have some copies here for sale, but I'm gonna start out with a poem called Kenny. And I wasn't gonna read this, but Celeste really got me thinking, so thanks. Kenny. After the meeting, all the East End queens and dykes mop up the spilled coffee, styrofoam cups, the mutinous flyers sweaty with wheat paste and rage. Kenny sits down at the crummy upturned... Sorry, I can't see at all. Kenny sits down at the crummy untuned upright and plays. Fridays, Mom brings us here to this room in this hall. As a toddler, I was given a black baby doll, Lizzie, whose polyester afro I suckled till the poor thing was bald. It was the 70s, after all. Open classrooms, fight the power. And no self-respecting hippie was going to let her little wasp daughter grow up with a white baby doll. Now it's the 80s, and these are our people, whom AIDS is eating them, one wrong body at a time, to death. But first, Friday after Friday, before he goes, Kenny sets the lithe, blonde, beautiful arc of himself across the keys and offers up the theme to the Peanuts. Do you have any idea the effect on 100 angry gay activists and their daughter? This is a, don't worry about it. Hey, before I go further, Daniela, your name's Daniela. Yeah. You have a chapbook out?
Yeah.
You got any readings coming up?
Not yet.
Okay, so this room is like weird because you all, the woman that started us off, right, Daniela, has a chapbook out. If you get can see Daniela read her own work, please take advantage of that. I'd say like, second to Yona Harvey, she most inhabits her full self up there, okay? Like, seriously. So, yeah, check it out. Get yourself some readings. I'm your publicist since I suck at doing it for myself. I'm going to read a poem called I Tell My Student. I write about you guys, sorry. This was a long time ago. You don't have to worry. I tell my student... It's because you're closeted that your poems make no sense. For years, you've obfuscated and avoided pronouns, and now your poems are paying with their lives. She says I make gay look cool, and she is absolutely right. It's 2008. Gay hasn't been cool in 17 years. When OPP was a ship deck we danced on at SLC, gay was a t-shirt, black jeans, ball-toed boots, and a brown leather jacket, belts with buckles like Nebraska, where that dyke got killed. Yeah. SLC, I was referring to Sarah Lawrence College, where I spent a year, a heavenly year that I... I'm still paying for, I'm sure. It's a heavenly expensive year. Here, I'll read a poem about it. Sarah Lawrence. Once I believed I'd die happy, knowing I'd gone there for 1 year. and in the same bed as Dwyer, who smoked Marlboro Reds, elbows on her knees, tiny, butch, massive-haired thing. Remember Gwyn? She filmed us having sex for her movie, sorry, film. Before the word indie, before you cut your hair, she tried to make us top and bottom, tried to make you stay in your place as she perceived it. But Dwyer, you scaled me like a cemetery gate. Oh, and we couldn't go on from laughing. When we curled ourselves into the extraordinary shape of sixes, you wanted us to have sex? We thought you said six. And Gwyn, a little hot under the spiked dog collar, thank God there wasn't YouTube back then. Woo, thank God it was you. So. Dwyer Dwyer and Sarah Lawrence come up a lot in this book. This is a poem called Jess. She could come just making me come. The night I called, she ran through Ficus Hall shouting, I have two dates, one to dump Brad. A month later, the pregnancy test. False alarm, but I remember shrugging, ready to raise that kid. She hated that I lived in the past at Sarah Lawrence with Dwyer. Round and round we'd fight, homeless. Where else am I supposed to live? I cried. She cried all the time. Her mascara, an angry note on my pillow, my t-shirt, my jeans. She loved me the way women love men, withholding sex till I nearly wept from helplessness. One night, coming up for air in the bottom bunk, she said, I still can't get over this. She said, you'd have such a hot body if you worked out. I would, too. Thus, the hand-numbing pain for which in those days I lived naked, not leaving. I'm going to read a poem just because I'm selfish. It's like my favorite poem. It's called The Covenant. The Covenant. The thing is, I wanted anchovies. The only reason to go to Drew's on Ardmore is the Greek salad with anchovies. But in March, I'd met someone, a vegetarian, and we had what we fondly referred to as the covenant. She didn't drink around me, and I didn't eat meat in front of her. Dear God, how on earth do we get ourselves into these things and out of them and back into them over and over and over until all at once you're 40 and still haven't learned Spanish or how to play the guitar or do a headstand? Which are the first three things I'm always going to do, this time for real, when I break up with someone. I'm 46 now, and I haven't learned any of those things. I am going once and for all to be alone and do these things. There's this part in Howard's End when Tibby wonders at the quote-unquote haycocks people make of their lives. Well, here I was at Drew's in a haycock. By which I mean another relationship with a perfectly good, gorgeous woman whose only flaw was she was available and a grown-up with a job and her own home, and this ultimately, this would not do. It was July now, and we'd been together for enough months that our covenant, so reverent and tender in April, suddenly, sitting there in Drew's, became a noose. The more I thought about that salad without anchovies on it, the more my neck broke out in hives, inflamed and strangling. First of all, why would you order salad at a restaurant if not for the bacon or anchovies or steak and French fries? Second, fish is not an animal. But we'd talked about this a lot, something about souls and eyes. The truth is, I really wanted those anchovies. I wanted them more than I wanted her methodical, God-restoring tongue each weekend, more than I wanted her ridiculous granite abs under my palm, her triceps like pulleys in my hands, her sad brown eyes, Monica. More than Sundays with Imogen Heap in the red Jetta, when she'd shift left-handed to keep her right hard on my thigh, and we'd blast the Fort Pitt Tunnel to materialize, a miracle, giddy and dazed on the other side. How am I doing? I've lost all track of time here. Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm going to read a poem called Culture Wars. I ask Sheila and Francine in identical short black nano puff vests, would they like to see my house? I've known them 20 years, our acquaintance manufactured on taste, hard Swedish lines, invulnerable cherry floors, everything long and low, typewriters and turntables. Their approval means less than it used to, but not nothing. In the study, where picador paperbacks play it cool along squat black shelves, Francine leans over my desk to read what is hung there. Quote, relying on God has to begin all over again, every day, as if nothing had yet been done. C.S. Lewis. I'd forgotten about that, about church, how sometimes I go, how sometimes I read the liturgy and inevitably weep when we sing, Here I Am, Lord, and keep each bulletin and tape the especially stirring ones to my wall, because relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. I watch Francine read, and some latent impulse leaps to explain, but it's too late, she knows. I remember my dad coming for parents' weekend at Sarah Lawrence, how an hour before his arrival, I began the panicked, painstaking work of taking down the posters, Queer Nation, ACT UP, Lesbian Avengers, Silence Equals Death. But the exertion of de-gaying was too much, and I felt, at long last, landed home, too safe to care. He can deal with it, I announced, and from her bunk, Alicia, if you go to this school, he already knows. I know Sheila and Francine will not be back. From the porch, I watch their smart outerwear sheening crisply with distaste as they hasten the distance between irony and God. Thanks.